Now I want you to turn in your Bible this morning to the book of 2 Corinthians and chapter 4. I'm glad today that I'm a Christian. I'm glad the Lord saw fit to redeem my unworthy soul. You know, try as hard as we may, we can't find anything that's good within this flesh. But I'm glad the righteousness of God has been imputed to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I shall read verses 4, 5, and 6 for our scripture reading for the message from the Word of God. Before we read it, I want you to pause with me. And out of your own heart, I trust, offer a prayer. Our Father, we thank Thee for the redeeming grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee that though we were deserving of hell and destruction, Thou hast saved us with an everlasting salvation. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that as we shall now read Thy Word, may the Holy Spirit enlighten our hearts and our minds to the way of the truth, that we might in all things acknowledge Jesus Christ and Him alone. We know today that the devil is busy trying to destroy and trying to overthrow and trying to cast down and trying to blind and trying to enslave the hearts and minds of people all over the world. But may they find freedom and sight and life and liberty and light in the Lord Jesus Christ today is our prayer in His name and for His sake and with thanksgiving. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4. Let's move back to verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Christ's sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world, that is Satan, the prince of the power of the air, the arch enemy of mankind, that old dragon, that evil one, who is responsible for every tear-filled eye, who is responsible for every grave, who is responsible for every broken heart and every broken home and every warped mind and every cemetery and every hospital. Through sin, Satan has brought havoc to the human race. He has blinded the minds of them that believe not. A man sat along beside a road one day, and as the people passed by, he was heard to say, "The sun is shining, and I am blind." Beloved, all over the world today, the sunshine of God's eternal mercy and grace is shining brightly, and many people are blinded by Satan, and they cannot see it. A man sat by another roadside one day who was called blind Bartimaeus. And when Jesus came by, he cried out, "O thou son of David, have mercy upon me." And Jesus said, "What is it? What do you need?" And he said, "That I might see." And Jesus opened the eyes of that man and he saw. Remember, my text says, "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." My message today is simply the blindfolds of Satan. I talked to you last week about the strategy of Satan. Now, I haven't come to introduce you to Satan, because I'm sure that most of you somewhere along the uneven winding pathway of life have met him. Perhaps some of you are more intimately acquainted with him than I am. I don't know. But Satan is conniving. He is diabolical. He is a schemer. He is a deceiver. He's blinding the minds of many today, lest the light of this wonderful gospel, the Word of God, should open their blind minds and they should see themselves as God sees them. One of Satan's blindfolds is this: Satan blinds men to the goodness of God. This whole creation speaks of the goodness of God. In Psalm chapter 33 at verse 5 we read, "The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord." Think about it for a moment. Look at mankind. Look at yourself. Beloved, it is only the goodness of God that motivated him to create us in his own image. You see, God could have made us something else, something less than what we are. God could have given us, instead of the ability to speak, God could have caused us to bark or howl. But God has given us the ability to make sentences and to make words. God made us in his own likeness and in his own image, body, soul, and spirit. Look at nature about us. Consider the seasons. Oh, I know we don't particularly like the winter time, but wouldn't it be terrible if all months were like July and August? We don't especially like the night sometimes, but wouldn't it be tragic if there was no night and no time of rest? You see, God made the seasons and he made day and night. And I know we don't like to see the rain, but wouldn't it be bad if the sun was shining every day and we never had a cloud in the sky and we never had a drop of moisture? Isn't God good? Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. The goodness of the Lord is abundant in all the earth. But Satan is out to blind the minds of men. I think that it's the goodness of God that provides our needs. Paul said, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." D.L. Moody said that was a blank check on the bank of heaven signed by Jesus Christ. God supplies our needs. And isn't it good that he gives us food? You see, God gave us an appetite, but he would have been a cruel God if he hadn't given us anything to satisfy it. God is good in supplying all of our needs. And here's something that I think we often overlook. God is good in the fact that he doesn't let us see but one day at a time. Oh, if you could pull back the curtain on February the 2nd. If you could know the sorrow and the heartache that might befall you tomorrow, it would make today a very miserable existence, wouldn't it? I'm glad we can't see tomorrow. I'm glad we don't know about tomorrow. But I am happy that we know the one who controls tomorrow. For God Almighty is in every one of your tomorrows. Suppose death comes. He is there. Suppose sickness comes. He is there. Suppose the disappointing news across the wires brings a tragic message to your home. You know, one ringing of the telephone might change all of your life tomorrow. But you don't have to worry about it today, for sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Give us this day our daily sustenance. And hidden away in the book of Deuteronomy is that wonderful promise, as thy days are, so shall thy strength be. God is good in that he doesn't let us see the uncertainties of tomorrow. Live for him today and say with the psalmist, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and then I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Satan is out to blind the minds of men to the goodness of God. Be careful, folks. Be very careful that you don't allow Satan to blind your mind to the goodness of God. And then the devil puts another blindfold on men. Satan blinds men to their spiritual condition. Every man outside Christ is L-O-S-T, lost. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not. If this precious truth is veiled, if it is hidden, it is hidden to them that are lost. Every man outside Christ is lost. Tragic. It is tragic to be lost. But beloved, it is far more tragic to be lost and not know that you're lost. Not only does Satan blind the minds of sinners or unsaved to the fact that they are eternally lost, but Satan blinds the minds of many Christians. No wonder Paul said, give no room to Satan. If you give him an inch, he'll take a mile. If you give him a second, he'll take a whole day. If you give him a day, he'll take a week. If you give him a week, he'll take a month. If you give him a month, he'll take a year. If you give him a year, he's likely to take your lifetime. A lot of good people in the world today, well-meaning people, Christian people, saved people, who have allowed Satan to blind their minds. Do you know Satan has got a lot of people thinking that they don't really need to go to church except on Sunday morning? Now, don't drop your head now. Somebody think I'm talking about you, and I wouldn't want them to do that. Don't blush now. But you know Satan has got the wool pulled over a lot of people's eyes, making them think that they've done God and the church a favor if they go out to church on Sunday morning. Beloved, you need every moment in the house of God that you can get in these days. Satan has made a lot of people believe that they can be just as good a Christian outside the church as they can in the church. That is a lie of Satan. It can't be so. Satan has made a lot of people believe, well, it's not really their duty nor responsibility to visit. After all, we've got a paid pastor and a paid youth director, and we've got everybody else to do our work for us. Oh, no. You can't excuse yourself to be blinded by Satan when Jesus said, if any man come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, follow me. Jesus said, go ye into all the world. That's all of us. Don't let Satan blind your mind to the fact that you can excuse yourself from being a personal evangelist and witness for Christ. He'll pull the wool over your eyes. Did you know that Satan takes the Word of God and blinds a lot of people to a lot of things? Satan makes a lot of people think if they just stay in the Word and learn the Scriptures, and please don't misunderstand me, I think everybody ought to learn the Scriptures. Please. I'm 29 years old and I've never been misunderstood yet. And I don't want to be misunderstood today. I believe everybody ought to memorize the Word of God. But Satan will blind the minds of good people and get them deceived just if they stay home and learn the Scripture like Acts 5:42. You know, it's hard to stay home on that verse. For Acts 5:42 says, "In daily in the temple and in every house they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ." Don't let Satan pull the wool over your eyes. Would you believe that Satan has some people, now I'm talking about the people up in Oklahoma now, none of them in Texas. Satan will make some people believe that prayer meeting is altogether unnecessary and they don't have time nor feeling nor strength for it. And after all, they don't need it anyhow. If there's anybody who really feels that way deep in your heart and you believe it's the truth, I wish you'd come tell me about it after church. If you really don't think you need it, you're just letting Satan blind your mind to the truth of what your body and your spirit and your soul really need. I say again, no wonder Paul said, "Give no room to the devil. He'll blind you. He'll pull the wool over your eyes. He'll fool you. He'll deceive you. He'll not let you see the need of all these things I'm talking about if you're not very careful." Then the devil blinds the eyes of men to God's way of salvation. You see, the devil specializes in counterfeiting. He's the greatest counterfeiter in all the world. And if Satan cannot convince man that he doesn't need to be saved, he'll show him a counterfeit way. The devil will try to get people to believe they can be saved by their good works, or saved by going to church, or saved by joining the church, or saved by being baptized, or that they can be saved by doing the best they can. But Isaiah 64:6 says, "But all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags." Titus 3:5 says, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He has saved us." Ephesians 2:8 and 9 says, For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." The way of salvation is made plain in the Scripture. Acts 4:12 says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and there is no other. I am the via," that's the Latin for way. "I am the veritas," the Latin for the truth. "I am vita," the way, the life, the truth. You say, "But preacher, do you believe that there's just one way?" Well, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, the life." Well, I can hear somebody saying, "That's a little bit dogmatic, isn't it?" Yeah, it sure is. But you know, we're living in a dogmatic world. Now the liberals say, "Well, I don't quite believe that. I mean, after all, you don't have to really come by this way, the way of the cross. I don't believe the Bible really meant that Christ was the only way." Well, it didn't say He was a way. It said He's the way. You don't believe we're living in a dogmatic world? Do you know anything about physics? Physics is dogmatic. According to physics, at the scale on the thermometer, centigrade, water will boil at 100 degrees. At zero, it freezes centigrade. That's very dogmatic. It doesn't boil at 101 or 99. It doesn't freeze at 1 degree above or 1 degree below, but at the 0 point. That's dogmatic. I'll bring a fellow in that says, well, I don't really believe that water boils at 100 degrees centigrade. And I stick his finger down in the water and he says, ouch! That's dogmatic. It does. Mathematics is dogmatic. 2 plus 2 equals 4. That's as dogmatic as you can get. You can't get anything else out of 2 plus 2 but 4. The systems of finances in the world is dogmatic. If you don't believe it, you go down to the bank and put $25 in the bank tomorrow, and then go down on Tuesday and put another $25 in the bank and a checking account, and then Wednesday you write a check for $100. You go into the bank and they say, here, the check comes back, and you say, but I just don't believe that that 25 plus 25 doesn't make 100. And so he just calls another fellow over from the other side and says, come over and take care of this man. Well, I'm liberal. I don't believe 25 plus 25 is just 50. I believe it's something more. Well, 30 days in jail will teach you that it is. Every known law in the world is dogmatic. Physics, chemistry, banking, mathematics, all laws are dogmatic. Here's a law that's dogmatic. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. But Satan will blind the minds of people and get them to believe that they can be saved their way, however they want to do it. There's another blindfold that Satan puts on men to blind them to the certainty of death. You know the story that Jesus told about the rich man who said, well, I have many goods stored up for many days. I can say to my soul, take it easy. You have many days. But like a bolt of lightning out of the sky, God said, this night, not tomorrow night, but this night is thy soul required of thee. The only sure thing about life is death. Hebrews 9:27 declares, it is appointed. You know what an appointment is? It's not just a perchance meeting. It's a definite set place and time. It is appointed unto men once to die. And after this, what? The judgment. Joshua said in his last address to Israel, this day I go the way of all the earth. James says, what is your life? It is like a little vapor that is for a while and is no more. Life is so uncertain. Death is so sure. You know, in Genesis chapter 5, we have the generations of Adam and his descendants. And you know, it says that Adam lived 939 years. And he died. And then it goes right on down the line. Seth. And he died. And he died. And he died. I read a story about a man who was a merchant in London, England, by the name of Henry Goodyear. His niece had been after him to go to church for a long time. Sure enough, he finally agreed just to satisfy her. And would you believe it? The preacher had for his text that day Genesis 5. That long list of names. But after every one of them, it says, and he died. And he died. And he died. As they walked home from church that day, Mr. Goodyear didn't say anything to his niece, and his niece didn't say anything to him. But he tells the story that every time I put my foot down, I could hear the echo. And he died. And he died. Said, well, I went home and I sat down to eat, and every time I picked up the fork, I could hear the echo. And he died. And he died. And I went into my room and the clock began to strike. And every time it would strike, it said, and he died. And he died. He said, I went to work that next morning and I took my pen in my hand and writing in my ledger, and it seemed that everything I wrote was, and he died, and he died, and he died, and he died. He could hardly wait for the day to end to go back home. And there, in his own home, he said, I must read that chapter. All I hear is, and he died, and he died. And so he read it, and the Spirit of God convicted his heart, and he was saved. Mister, let me tell you something this morning. You're going to die. You are going to die. Maybe a long time. Maybe today. Maybe tomorrow. Maybe next year. Maybe next week. Maybe tonight. Maybe now. But you are going to die. It is appointed unto men once to die. One of these days they're going to stretch your cold remains here or in a funeral parlor or out by the grave or somewhere, and some preacher somewhere is going to have to say something about you. What is he going to say? Here lies a good man who had every good intention to be saved, but as far as we know, he never was saved. A good neighbor, a good friend, a good man, but he really never was saved. You don't want that said about you, do you? You're going to die. Somebody's going to have to say something. You know, the Bible gives us the testimony of two men who were at death's door when they said these words. One of them was named King Saul. And King Saul said in 1 Samuel chapter 26 at verse 21, King Saul said, I have played the fool. The other man was the Apostle Paul. And he said, I have kept the faith. Now, what are you going to say? If you go down to death's door, if you go out of this life unsaved, unregenerate, unprepared, you're playing the part of a fool. Why don't you trust Christ so you can say with Paul, I have kept the faith? I read a story about a man once who had a habit of walking in his sleep. And out across the highway from his property, there was a stream. It was different from a whole lot of streams. You didn't just wade into it and gradually come up over you. You immediately just stepped off into the deep. He got up one night. He walked down the stairs, out the front door, across the street. And he didn't wake up until his feet hit the chilly water. But then it was too late. Some of you will not wake up to what I'm talking about until your feet are in the chilly waters of death. And then it's too late. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. Yes, that's what it says. And that is another way that Satan blinds men. Satan blinds men to the realities of judgment. Satan says it's all over when you die. Oh, no, it isn't. It isn't all over. Let me read it to you. Would you listen for just a moment? I'm going to read it to you from God's Word, from the Revelation chapter 20. Listen to it. John says, and I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead. You know, everybody that dies is dead. And I saw the dead. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. And I saw the dead, small and great. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. And And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. How many men have gone down to a watery grave in the sea? The sea's going to give them up one of these days. It's appointed unto men once to die, maybe by drowning, maybe by burning, maybe by heart attack, maybe by accident. It is appointed unto men once to die. And after this, the judgment. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. It is appointed unto men once to die. And don't let Satan make you believe that's all of it. It is appointed unto men once to die. And after this, after death, the judgment. I've got good news for you this morning. You don't have to face the judgment of God. For Jesus Christ in his own body on the tree has already borne the judgment of God, your sins and mine, in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness. Christ has already paid the debt. Christ has already been judged on Calvary's cross for your sins. You don't have to go to that awful judgment. Unless you die without Christ as your Savior. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. Someone asked a dear old saint once, but you don't believe that deathbed repentance will take away a whole life of sin, do you? The dear old saint answered, no, but the blood of Jesus Christ will. For his blood cleanseth from all sin and all unrighteousness. It is appointed unto men once to die. And after this, the judgment. Don't, I beg you, don't. Don't let Satan blind your mind to the truth of God's word. Let us stand for our prayer. Our Father, we thank thee again for thy word. We thank thee that it is quick and powerful and sharper than a sword with two edges. We thank thee, Heavenly Father, that this wonderful truth has been given to us so plain. It is given so clear, so definite, so absolute, so sure, so certain, that we cannot afford to miss it. May men and women and young people realize today that we each one have an appointment with death, and after this, the appointment with thee, with judgment. We pray, Heavenly Father, that men and women and young people and boys and girls might today surrender to Christ. Don't let Satan continue to blind the eyes of men and women who are unsaved. And Heavenly Father, don't let Satan continue to blind the minds of people who are saved. Help them to see that they need the church, and they need to be active, and they need to be engaged, and they need to be involved. May the scales of Satan's blindfolds be ripped away. And may we see ourselves in the light of thy word, even as thou dost see us. In Jesus' name we pray.